Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 230, recording this on 11th September 2017. I am Steve Litchfield. With me I have Rafe Blanford. Yes.
Yes, hello everybody. I managed to get back on the podcast this week. Thank you to Anthony for kind of stepping in as a guest last time round. I know we've got a lot to talk about. Been various news going on in the Windows world, so of course we'll do our usual roundup and I'm sure we'll have our usual back chat as well, Steve. And what's first on the agenda for this week?
Well, I wanted to just cover a few basic news items and features, things we can get out of the way, because we have a slightly meatier topic perhaps to discuss in terms of my views on highlighting Windows 10 Mobile in 2017. I did a video for the site, but we'll come to that later on, because I have a feeling you may have your say on that in particular. A few news items. IFA, IFA 2017 has happened since you were last on. We had the Wiley Fox Pro announced, which Anthony and I covered last week, slightly overpriced budget phone, to be honest, based on a reference design. Slightly more interesting is this Trekstor WinPhone 5, also shown off IFA, and already actually appearing on the Microsoft Germany website, although without a price, it seems, at the moment. That kind of seems mid-range. It does support Continuum. It's a Snapdragon 617, but it is micro USB, which kind of indicates that this may be a slightly older reference design that's been used, Rafe. The fact that anything comes out with micro USB in 2017, I'm thinking this has been around for a couple of years on a shelf somewhere. But hey, it's another Windows 10 Mobile new handset. It's coming out in Germany first, so beggars can't be choosers.
I think that's probably a fair way of putting it. I mean, I think both of these devices kind of probably have a little bit of history of having been at least parts of the previous Android device. We've seen that a lot. And it's always interesting. I mean, this is actually the first time I can remember two very obvious phones coming out at IFA that hadn't been kind of previewed elsewhere before. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these are actually both new. And we've seen the same thing happen at MWC. It doesn't guarantee that they get immediate market distribution. I guess actually in the Windows 10 Mobile world today, it's a lot easier to claim distribution because actually many of the devices are restricted or limited availability. And as you note, the Trekstor one is already available on Microsoft Germany. It's interesting to note that the Wiley Fox version was actually described as being something that Wiley Fox did at Microsoft's request. So one assumes kind of a bit of money changed hand, or there was some sort of partnership going on there to at least cover the development costs. And I suspect it goes to show that this can be done relatively easily now. And it does remind me, and to a certain extent, both phones actually, of kind of the low end, kind of the Lumia 515 type devices. And then maybe something a little bit higher up for the Trekstor. Maybe, I guess it's the 630, the 640 type range. When you look at the screen size, maybe that's not a perfect comparison. But those kind of devices that are necessary if enterprise users are going to have a big deployment of devices, because obviously they can't all be Alcatel or HP flagship devices. You need something if you're kind of looking to continue a deployment of these types of devices. It's very notable. One of the news headlines we had recently was the New York Police Department essentially dropping Windows Phone. And one of the reasons cited for that was kind of the end of hardware support or not something available. And that's perfectly understandable. I mean, you yourself mentioned in a couple of podcasts that kind of Lumias are effectively no longer available. And that's certainly true. So these kind of devices, I guess, are important. But I find it hard to get too excited about these because until they're kind of more widely available, it's sort of like, OK, you're showing it off. You know, is this actually going to be something we'll get hold of? And it's kind of sad in some ways that that's what it comes to talk about with regard to new Windows devices. But these are not what I'd call major manufacturers, although, you know, Wiley Fox, to be fair, have had pretty good distribution in some of the Western European countries. But I mean, previously, I probably would have been fairly dismissive of such devices. Nonetheless, it also goes to show their commoditization. Both of these look like pretty decent devices. The hands-on reports actually are pretty encouraging in terms of, you know, the Trekstor in particular, kind of framed with aluminium, reasonable buttons. you yourself mentioned that it's got a kind of vulnerable glass back design in the news story, but I'm not sure that's, for some people, that's going to be a positive. I mean, it feels like that's coming into a lot of devices recently, probably an argument to get a case if ever there was one. The pricing of this maybe feels a bit at the high end. I mean, 300 euros.
That is just a guess, though. Yeah.
You know, that's a guess, and that's kind of list pricing. I mean, that's, you know, almost certainly going to come down quite quickly. So, yeah, it's absolutely good to see these. And the very fact that these devices are continuing to be produced, and we know that they would have to have backing from Microsoft, kind of says a lot that Microsoft is still willing to put a little bit of time and effort, and I would imagine financial resource, but behind encouraging these to happen, which, if you're reading the tea leaves, does suggest that they're still looking to push Windows 10 Mobile. I mean, that's the other thing there's been a lot of commentary on. Yeah. Recently, I guess we'll talk about this later in the show, in terms of people proclaiming the end and sort of Microsoft de-emphasizing. And, you know, they absolutely are, but at the same time, there are clearly still activities going on. And these are all small enough size and sort of small enough companies that these aren't kind of contractual commitments that have been around for ages. I mean, these are new companies to Windows 10 Mobile, kind of in both cases. So therefore, you go, okay, that suggests to me that Microsoft wants to at least make sure a few devices are available, and filling out that kind of bottom end of the market seems to be something pretty sensible, because there has been a lack of that recently.
Yeah, of course, we had the Altil Idol 4 Pro, which, and my full 4 review parts are now up on the site, so do go and see the links in the show notes to that. I remember Joe Balfiore was questioned about 2 months ago about the plans for Windows 10 on ARM. And he was saying, yes, you know, Windows 10 on ARM will be for hybrid devices and laptops and future portable devices. For phones, we have Windows 10 Mobile. And I want to make the point that he used the present tense, we have. He didn't say we had or we used to have and we've now made obsolete. He said we have. They're continuing to update it with monthly updates based on the creators update. We'll get monthly patch Tuesday updates until spring 2019. And the feature 2 branch is changing. It is being updated with some new features, admittedly not all the 3D stuff and augmented reality stuff that the desktop's getting, but it is still being developed at a slow pace. So Microsoft are very much aware that they need to have a hand and a foot and a toe and everything else in mobile. They may not be putting it as their front and center thrust, but Microsoft very much are keeping their hand in here and just helping subsidize and sort out partner agreements with small companies like this. They're just part of that. I did another story showing a screenshot of the Microsoft Germany website showing the three devices, you know, line astern, the Elite X3, the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, and this new Trextor WinPhone 5. All three, really, in, you know, metal and high-spec materials. Coming down from what is 700 euros, including taxes, down to this, which would be about, I don't know, 250 euros, including taxes. So that, in a sense, that is a range of devices. It's not made by Microsoft. It's not first party. It's not all singing, all dancing, arguably. But it's not too shabby either. So I'm clutching at straws right here. but let's face it, there are straws to be clutched.
Yes, I was going to say that. I mean, I'm pretty sure any mainstream smartphone commentator would be incredibly dismissive of this. But, you know, that was the point I was kind of trying to make about Microsoft, you know, showing a bit of commitment to these companies, that they're, you're right, that there are straws to be clutched. And, you know, that lets me read the tea leaves. But, I mean, it does feel like, sadly, straitened circumstances that, you know, you're almost reduced to clutching at that kind of thing. But at the same time, it sort of, I think it's a nuance that you need to understand, that there is still some activity going on here. And this is going to very much lead into kind of the video you've got on the site, which we're going to discuss at the end of this podcast. But I don't think it's unreasonable to do that, as long as you don't sort of do it in a blinded way. And we're not suggesting suddenly there's going to be a big resurgence. What we are saying is there are some new devices, which, for those who want to choose a Windows 10 mobile device, and I think, you know, you could have quite a strong conversation about whether you'd recommend a mainstream consumer do that, and frankly I think probably not, but for those that do want to, there is a choice out there. And actually, you know, I still see quite a number of Windows 10 mobile devices in the world, you know, both at work and general public and clients and friends. And actually, it's surprising for me, at least in some ways, there's a great affection still held for it, and a lot of people still using it as their primary device. I mean, I've I've said before, I don't do that anymore, but I do still keep my device up to date and occasionally use it. Probably less so in the last few months than at the beginning of the year, but it's still there for me, and I still definitely have an interest in it. I mean, sitting on a podcast talking about it, so of course I do. And I think that's probably the thing to bear in mind, isn't it, Steve? One has to be realistic in the assessment, but as long as you keep that kind of fundamental truth in mind, and no, we're not suggesting it's something, you know, come and take over the market, but nor should it sort of be dismissed out of hand altogether.
Yeah.
Is it going to have a major significant impact? No. Is it kind of a niche thing that's interesting for users? Absolutely. And a phrase you're fond of using, Steve, is the path less traveled. And actually, these are just the next stepping stones on that path that you could travel should you wish to do so.
Yes, and as we've also said in previous podcasts, Windows 10 Mobile is a part of the global Windows 10 ecosystem, which is huge, which is genuinely over 500 million computing devices worldwide. So we shouldn't, you know, forget that an awful lot still is common, and especially those UWP applications. When you boot up a Windows 10 Mobile phone like a Lumia 950, virtually every single application you see is a universal Windows platform app. If you then start looking for applications in the store, most of the ones that I've been recommending, again, the UWPs, you can run exactly the same app on your desktop, on your Surface, on your phone. They're the identical application, and the UI might change its look and feel slightly to adapt for the different screen aspect ratio. But I can't emphasize this enough, really, that it is Windows 10 Mobile. It is a separate OS, but it's at the same time, it's also part of the whole, which is kind of a difficult concept to get your head around, but it is true.
Yeah, so I think that's absolutely right. Now, Steve, you've done your comprehensive four-part review of the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro, but we've had some continuing coverage on it, and I know you're always keen to protect your investment. You've had one of your great case roundups. One of the sort of secrets here, I guess, is because the Idol 4 Pro effectively also has an Android device, and actually there's kind of a BlackBerry thing in there as well, if you like. That means there's probably more cases available than you might suspect for this kind of device. I mean, you know, I know looking at the roundup that you've done, you've chosen from, I think, four or five cases, and that's more out there. But it'd be great to hear what your kind of recommendation was and why you would choose that. I mean, this is always a personal thing, so I'd urge people not only, of course, to read the four-part review, but if they're looking and they've bought one of these and want a case, to go and have a look at this, because they will be able to kind of give you the options of what out there, and at least in terms of decent quality cases.
Yeah. You would have thought, really, given that this is essentially the same physical form factor and hardware as the Alcatel Idol 4S for Android from late 2016 and the BlackBerry DTEC 60 from early 2017, you thought, no problem, three different phones. Okay, never mind, I can't find anything for the Idol 4 Pro. I'll just go looking for cases for those. Even so, there aren't that many. The four I've chosen here are actually available under different names from different companies, and they're kind of generic designs, you know, TPU or a sort of faux leather folio. There's nothing terribly exciting, but I wanted to reassure people that I had at least tried some of these cases. I got rather disillusioned when I ordered a few more in and found they were identical to the four I'd already got in, just under different brand names. So I think a lot of these cases are actually made by the same Chinese companies, Rafe, and just rebadged, which shouldn't come as much of a surprise to anyone. But we mentioned earlier about the Trekstore phone being an aluminium frame, glass front and back. And this really is the kind of the trend of the modern age, really. So many phones now, they get Samsung Galaxies, for example. This is the way that phones, a premium phone, is designed, so that you feel cold glass front and back, and it's glass on the back rather than metal, because you can then have things like Qi charging and a better RF performance and so forth. But it also means, especially if you go for a premium oleophobic coating, that the phone is incredibly slippery, and the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro is incredibly slippery, unbelievably so. So I just was not comfortable carrying it at all, unless it was in one of these cases. But I do recommend that people choose whatever they want to. That folio case does look absolutely ridiculous, and they traditionally are, you know, fairly thick, chunky, horrendous affairs. But in this case, because of the single unique selling feature of the Idol 4 Pro, which is those loud stereo speakers, let's face it, if you're going to go for the 4 Pro over, say, a Lumia 950, you're buying it because you want to use those speakers to watching Netflix and BBC iPlayer and YouTube and so forth. And as such, you want it propped up in front of you at a nice angle. So why not go for a folio case, except the fact that it'll be 3 or 4 mils thicker when it's cased, but it's fully protected and it's got a stand built in? Well, I reckon that would be my choice.
Okay, that's interesting, because I have to admit, I find those folio cases a little bit too bulky. I mean, I take your argument about the kind of standing up and being able to take advantage of the speakers, but that's only one mode. And I suspect actually that's partly because I'm less speaker obsessed than Steve is. I tend to prefer kind of the sort of slim style case. And actually, sometimes you can find folio cases that work like that. So actually, the Incipio Octane Pure Frost Stroke Black version, which is effectively a bumper case with a bit of plastic for the back. And I think that kind of maximizes your protecting your investment while minimizing bulk. And I know that kind of AAWP collaborator Steve Heinrich has actually been using that, and I think has a positive feeling of it. But like you say, there are two different options there. And I think this is one of those scenarios where actually the fact that there are other devices that are kind of, should we call them the ancestors of the Idle 4S Pro Windows version, is actually a very good thing, because it means that there is a little bit more case choice, even if, as you say, it's maybe not as widespread as you might think. But better than using totally generic cases, which you're sometimes restricted to with some of the kind of really niche devices, or ones that just don't have that much of a following. And yes, it's one of these things. I mean, just as the phones have been commoditized, the cases even more so. All the accessories now, you know, you buy from one manufacturer, it's branded, and then you're kind of surprised to see exactly the same case branded by someone else down the market, or eight different versions available on eBay. But that's just the way of the world now, which is why I still actually think there's a big opportunity for the manufacturers themselves to kind of produce top-tier cases, kind of almost endorsed. And obviously the likes of Apple, Samsung, HTC, and actually going back, Nokia, Microsoft, all did that very successfully. That's actually, I would argue, that kind of availability of an accessory range is one of the things that makes those kind of top-tier manufacturer devices popular, because increasingly now, you know, the smartphone can do even more things when you add accessories to it, and be that some kind of headset, you know, for doing virtual reality, which there are some options in the Windows 10 mobile world, or, you know, 360 cameras and everything else. So interesting, but yes, good to see there's some options for the Alcatel Idle 4 Pro.
Yeah, moving on swiftly, the Cock browser, which is a slightly, I guess, arguably rude word in the English language. But having said that, it means knock knock in Vietnamese, and it's a Vietnamese developer, so why the heck not? But the important thing here is that there's a also oddly named Savior add-in or extension, which adds media downloading. So with this browser for Windows 10 Mobile, you can go to any website that's serving up video downloads. And the HTML5 just kind of kicks into action, and it offers it up for download. So you can go around ripping off MP4 and MP3 files to your heart's content, which I couldn't possibly condone, but it can be useful, Rafe, to, you know, grab, for example, a video for offline viewing on a plane or something. So there are uses for grabbing media entirely legally for your own personal use. So I just thought it was interesting that we're starting to get phone browsers now for Windows 10 Mobile that include extension support, and we've still been waiting for Edge itself to get extensions on the phone. It hasn't happened. I'm not entirely sure it will now come in for feature two, but we have this third party that supports extensions, so yeah, why the heck not?
Yeah, interesting, and always worth looking at some of the alternative options in browser terms. I suspect this is very much aimed at the Vietnamese market, where actually that kind of media downloading is typically a slightly more common activity than it may be in Europe. And actually, that's also reflected in the choice of a local search engine as one of the options for the default search engine. But yeah, kind of nice to see another option, and also probably a pretty good testament to the power of UWP applications in general.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on swiftly, we're going to get to the this video of mine, if it kills us. Windows 10 Maps. If you're now on the release preview ring, you'll notice the new version of Windows 10 Maps. Oddly, it doesn't come out to the fast and slow rings for some obscure reason at Microsoft, where they want to test it purely on the Creators Update branch. But on the release preview ring, which includes things like the Lumia 830, 930, most of the people listening to this with those devices have it on this ring. Windows 10 Maps now includes transit information, Rafe. Just have a look at the screenshots. You can now tap on any bus stop or train station, anything to do with transits, and it shows you the departures and arrivals at that place, plus directions to get to that place if you're not already at that place. So it's not really a full route planner as such. within this one tappable interface, but it's a jolly good start. And of course, if you want to do transit route planning, you go back and you'd use the appropriate train icon in the main route planner within Maps. But this is a really nice UI touch, and I was very impressed by how they'd implemented it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember this as a feature in here, transit. Actually, for those who are familiar with where they're going, and actually most public transport journeys probably fall into that category, unless you're going somewhere for the first time or as a one-off or you're in a strange city. You know, for those that are doing commutes every day, actually having that ability to see, you know, what the next bus is due or when the next train is going to a certain destination, actually it can be, you know, sufficient rather than having to go through the full route planning. So this is about, you know, making the important contextual information available at a single tap. And it's kind of encouraging to see that Windows 10 Maps is getting these updates, frankly. So yeah, thumbs up from me too.
Have you heard of NewsBlur, Rafe?
I have heard of NewsBlur as a kind of, this is for consuming your news on the go, if you like.
Yes, kind of a Feedly alternative, which itself was a Google Reader alternative back in the day. All different ways of aggregating news feeds. Just to mention a few UWP apps that caught my eye over the last 10 days or so. Hypersonic is a very, very slick client for NewsBlur. I highly recommend it if you're a NewsBlur fan. If you're a Feedly fan, I still recommend Next Gen Reader, even though it's not a full UWP. I think it's got the most pleasant interface. But FeedLab, it's also another UWP that's well worth noting. I somehow never quite get on with how FeedLab presents its information and displays its stats, and I always get confused. But Next Gen Reader is like an old glove to me. It just fits very well. That, of course, piggybacks on Feedly. Also, Dynamic Theme UWP, which is brings the slightly confusing, the Bing image of the day and the Windows Spotlight images, which are updated less than daily, but also very nice. And it lets you choose to bring these in on schedule and to notify you when they change, all of that stuff. So I've been tweeting quite a bit recently, you may have spotted, Rafe, that some of the really rather nice lock screens that the Bing teams have served up, and they just appear on your phone each morning, and it's just sometimes jaw-droppingly good and really, really pretty on the AMOLED screens on our phones. So yeah, Dynamic Theme UWP, and you know, if the existing Bing image of the day isn't enough for you, then this goes one step further.
Yeah, it's nice to have this. I mean, it's always good to have an extension. I've generally found looking at some of these, I tend to prefer the Bing image of the day. I assume, I don't actually know this, it's the same team sort of doing the Windows Spotlight image. As you say, it's updated slightly less frequently. But there is something really nice about getting an updated image on my phone. It's one of the things that I've always liked about the Windows platform. And of course, there are similar things available for both Android and iOS. But I have to admit, on both of those devices, I've been slightly lazy and haven't had anything automatically updating. So it is one of the pleasures, as you said, looking at your Windows phone and just seeing what is the image that particular day. Of course, I think most people do tend to personalize and put something custom on there, whether that's a picture of their pet cat or dog, family member, or some amazing shot they've taken. But as you say, the images that Microsoft chooses are good enough that actually it's certainly on my Windows device anyway, that's put me off doing that kind of bit of very personal bit of personalization, and instead having personalization, I guess, delivered on a daily basis by Microsoft. So yeah, this is a good app to install if you want to kind of extend that capability.
Yeah, okay, well, let's move on with the thing I guess I really wanted your feedback on. I did it as an experiment, Rafe, rather than write a 1,000-word article yet again. I thought, I know, I'll do a video. We have done precious little video in the past on the site. So the video is called Highlighting Windows 10 on Phones in 2017. And what I wanted to get over to people was the things we've been saying on the podcast for ages, but I wanted this video to go a bit further so that people could recommend it and share it out. So pointing out that, as we've said, there are distinct advantages to Windows 10 Mobile in terms of security and plug-and-play compatibility with Windows 10 on the desktop, and all the niceties of, well, now the unique Nokia-designed Microsoft-made hardware, you know, with the Lumia 950, 950XL, with the superb camera, the replaceable backs and the replaceable batteries. There are still lots of positives I found, and I found myself quite upbeat when making it, but I'd welcome your feedback, having watched it only 10 minutes ago.
Yes, I've only had my first run through of this video, so you'll excuse me if I don't get it exactly right here. The first thing I just wanted to say was, actually, I was impressed by the kind of quality of the video. And this is partly because, for those that don't know, Steve does kind of the phone show where it's linked from the story where he reviews all kinds of other phones as well. And so well practiced at this kind of piece of camera, which believe me is a lot harder than it looks. But it's all shot on a phone, and there is obviously some editing involved. But relatively speaking, it's amazing how far things have come. I mean, the All About sites are now many years old, but we experimented with video pretty early on. And I can tell you then the quality, actually, we've always really shot on phones with a few exceptions. The quality was much lower. It was always pretty good on the Nokia devices, but went compared to some other phones anyway. But things really come on leaps and bounds, and actually, you know, quality of the audio and everything else as well. So just wanted to say thumbs up there. And I love the fact that this was shot on a Nokia 808 PureView, and you can get 1080p and see every bit of Steve. And I hesitate to say blemishes, because that would be completely unfair. But thank you for bringing this, Steve, because actually I think it's interesting to experiment with this kind of content. For those that are wondering about it, you know, this isn't like a big thing of us producing loads of video, because we know most of the audience prefer getting text and a bit of audio podcast as well. But it does allow us to express a bit more of an opinion. And, you know, Steve, you start off by kind of highlighting some of the devices that are available. Absolutely right to do that. I think it's fair to say, and you admit this yourself, there's definitely some rose-tinted glasses going on. But what I really liked is you weren't sort of apologizing for where Windows 10 Mobile was. You were saying, you know, this is the fact, this is how I view it.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, you do talk about three key advantages, which we'll go back to in a moment. But this is a really, it's a personal opinion, and it explains why it works for you and why it might work for some other people. It's not intended to be a robust defense. Everyone go out and buy a Windows 10 Mobile device as well. And you make the point, there's actually continues to be some momentum in the Windows 10 Mobile world, which I think people who don't follow it closely and who just see the constant headlines of the death of Windows 10 Mobile and Microsoft withdrawing from doing its own mobile platform, of which it feels like, you know, that's a recurring theme. You mentioned in the video 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. I'm sure there'll be more in 2018.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, there may be some reality to that. But actually, as we were talking about right at the beginning of this podcast, there are some new devices coming. There's still some chat about what Microsoft is going to do in terms of a kind of a first-party device in due course. I mean, no extra news on that. And you know, you yourself say, you know, that could be a phablet device that unfolds to become a tablet, and you just wanted to have a decent camera and a SIM card slot. I'm even not that bothered about the SIM card slot in some ways these days, but yes, I probably want to have that as well. But I just want to go over the three things that you touched on, which were, and forgive me if I get this wrong, is synergy, which is the thing we always talk about, the kind of strength of that Windows ecosystem. And I think that's, I would say it's not just synergy, it's kind of familiarity. And so for many people, there is a deliberate choice to choose Windows on their mobile device because it's what they like. And I mean, we still hear a lot of love for Live Tiles, and kind of, I would describe that as the simplicity and clarity of the user experience. Now, it is just one element of it, and I absolutely acknowledge that apps and services are lackluster on Windows 10 Mobile, particularly from a third-party point of view. I mean, actually, some of the first-party apps are great. But if you think about kind of just that overall experience, the fact that it's really easy to use is something that remains a really strong positive point, particularly for people that are familiar with Windows and have used Windows Phone in the past and kind of migrated or upgraded to Windows 10 Mobile. One shouldn't underestimate the kind of the pain of switching platform, I think more so in some ways from Windows to Android and iOS, because the philosophy is quite different. And, you know, if you're continuing to use Windows on the desktop, kind of switching and having a completely different thing on your mobile is not something that will immediately appeal to all people. I mean, I went through that process myself and it did take a while. And while I say quite clearly, kind of my main device these days switches between iPhone and Android, depending on what I'm working on. But there's something still really nice about going back to that simplicity of Windows Phone, and particularly, if, you know, as you described in the video, it's that core functionality around doing a bit of browsing, taking the odd photo, doing a little bit of messaging, which a lot of the time, you know, covers off the use cases. Do I have another phone in my pocket? Yeah, absolutely, because I'm kind of a child of the smartphone era, need access to kind of the on-demand apps and all the services that come with that. But, you know, I think it's fair to say I wouldn't necessarily be in the target market for Windows 10 Mobile now, but there are, you know, some people who absolutely are familiar with it. So that synergy thing, I think, encompasses a bigger thing. You talked about UWP. We talk about those apps each and every time on the podcast. And there's still some really great things there. I mean, I think this has to be the counterpoint to the app gap, which we've talked about for years. And ironically, in some ways, I feel there are more kind of strong app options now than there were when Windows Phone was in full flow. And I think a lot of that is the effect of synergy that you talk about and kind of the compatibility of apps coming down from desktop via UWP.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's very easy to get rose-tinted glasses about that because there are an awful lot of apps still missing and a lot of the big names just aren't there. We talk about having workaround or third-party apps, and I think that has to continue to be acknowledged. But if you're going to acknowledge and talk about that, you also have to have an open mind about actually UWP apps do provide an advantage. And for, you know, the users who value the familiarity and the synergy of Windows will also value the way that that extends into UWP apps. And I would absolutely say those type of people are not the ones who are downloading new apps every week and who are kind of really obsessed by having the latest and the greatest on their phone. I do wonder how small that audience gets. I mean, that's the thing I still think about for both of those. Is there a big audience out there? You know, effectively, how big is that niche? And that's, I think that's probably where you and I might disagree a little bit. And you also make a point about security, which is kind of partly through obscurity, which isn't a great way to do security. But there is also kind of the, again, using the kind of common Windows core does add a certain amount there. And I think particularly compared to the vulnerabilities and the discussion we often see around Android and to a much lesser extent, I guess, iOS, that is something you can't rule out altogether. And the very people who like familiarity on their phone, I suspect, also rate security quite high. Those are the three things you mentioned, Steve. I'll just add the fourth one, which I talked about at the beginning. It is that kind of personal choice thing. And I think you kind of explain and elucidate very clearly why there is a valid choice here. I just think the debate we'd have to have is how many people do you think that applies to?
Well, I did some back of the envelope calculations in an article about 6-7 months ago, and I'd, being very honest at every stage, I worked out from the number of phones sold and active users and so forth, and I got down to what I reckoned at the time was 7 million people across the world. This is not just people who happen to own a phone running Windows 10 Mobile. This is actually active users, people who are actively using the phones, looking for applications in the store. And my guesstimate was 7 million. It's possible that may now be down a bit more. Maybe I'm guessing 4 or 5 million people across the world, which, to be fair, is tiny in comparison to the billions, with a B, billions of people who have iPhones, which by their very nature tend to be fairly active users, you know, looking for, quote, apps, that's the trendy word. And of course, the billions of people now running Android phones, a lot of which people who just buy the cheap Android stuff and don't really know how to get the most of it out of it. But there we are. There are billions. So by that token, to have 5 million is literally a drop in the bucket. But at the same time, 5 million people is still 5 million people. And in terms of our community, in terms of the people around the world who genuinely fit in this niche, they want flexible hardware, they want a good camera, they want a nice, pretty, elegant interface, they want synergy with Windows, they want security. And for them, and for me quite a lot of the time, Windows 10 Mobile and, for example, my Lumia 950 XL and the Alcatel Lidl 4 Pro, they fit my needs, and they will, I think they fit a lot of people's needs out there in the AAWP readership.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair estimate. We've got no way of judging that accurately. I mean, we can look at some of the traffic we get, and actually we know there's still quite a demand for kind of Windows phone-related content, if I can describe it in that way.
Yeah.
And there's actually a pretty large audience engaging with the site and communicating with both of us via email and kind of social media. So I think that's probably a fair estimate. I mean, I think there's also quite a few people out there who are still using Windows basically because they don't really care that much about their phone. And, you know, it's often they keep hold of a device for a lot longer than kind of the sort of person who might listen to this podcast. I still occasionally see Lumia 800s in active use, which sort of tells you about the life cycle. And I think actually there's a chance that that sort of person would look out for a device and go, oh, I kind of want to stick with what I know. I think that's maybe a smaller kind of upgrade audience. But yes, if you think about that kind of actively engaged, and what we mean by that is people probably downloading the app. I don't think you'd go so far as to say kind of reading content about it regularly on the web, although there might be occasional visits to sites like AAWP and some of the others talking about Windows 10 mobile.
Are there other sites, Rafe? I thought we were it.
I know that it's sad to relate, but there are other sites out there. So our friends at Windows Central and some of the other, actually it's European languages, and there's still a surprising number of kind of sites, you know, dedicated to a specific market. And I mean, that itself tells me that there's, you know, still a fair amount of active interest out there. But that's, it goes back to what we kind of said at the beginning of the podcast. It's sort of about having your eyes open and not being kind of total apologists, but and not being total cheerleaders, but going, you know, there's still people actively engaged. And, you know, while that continues to happen, I know Steve and I are going to continue to talk about it. Of course, I think Steve has to get the halo for doing the majority of the work. I just turn up for the occasional podcast and make supportive comments in the background, just sort of reflecting where we both are at the moment. But yeah, it's interesting. And actually, I think, you know, it's necessary sometimes to take that step back, as you've done with this video, and explain kind of the thinking behind it. Because, I mean, most people I speak to in kind of what I'll describe as the mainstream, and this is, you know, partly in the marketing, but partly in the technology world, who sort of Windows is dead, and kind of they're right in the sense of the numbers we're talking about. You know, they don't need to worry about it as a major concern on their radar. But there is a distinction for me, at least, between kind of dead and disappearing altogether and sort of not a major impact on the mainstream, not something that companies need to really worry about too much when building mobile apps, although even then there are some circumstances maybe they do want to worry. And actually, where I see a Windows 10 mobile right now, which is a niche that isn't still enjoyed by a community of a significant size in terms of kind of individuals, even if it's not significant in overall market terms. And I mean, Steve, you remember the days of the early PDAs when millions of users would have been considered enormous. You know, a lot of PDAs just sold in the low hundreds of thousands, and that was considered a big community then. Yeah. Now, the world has changed out of all recognition, and I'm not suggesting that that's the same thing at all, but it does speak to actually, you know, how many people do you need to support a community? And it's pretty obvious from the fact that we continue to see new UWP applications, and sometimes that's a developer scratching their own itch, and I suspect most of them aren't in it, you know, to make vast amounts of money, but they're clearly getting satisfaction, which is derived directly from making something that's good for them, but also having other people using it, giving them comments and feedback. And a couple of developers I've spoken to said they get more feedback from their UWP users than they do from their apps on Android and iOS, where they are very typically reliant on kind of reviews in the app store. And, you know, the developers just said people are just more engaged, partly because they're kind of more grateful when they find it. And I think also it's just true that when you've got developers working on it for those kind of motivations, you know they're going to be more responsive and they're going to care about that sort of thing. So people do tend to be of a mind to get in touch. And I know, Steve, you talk to developers on a regular basis and always get a pretty positive response.
Absolutely. And I get quite excited, really, when they drop me a line first and say, Steve, I've added this feature that you've asked for, or Steve, I'm very pleased to announce a major new version. I genuinely get quite excited because, as you say, there aren't millions of applications and there aren't millions of websites covering it and there aren't billions of users. So all of a sudden, somebody releases something major is a big deal. I just wanted to reply to a comment you made just now about the attitude of the tech media. There's a bit of a bubble, really. Somebody on Twitter was having a bit of a debate with him, and he made the point that, you know, anybody who wasn't using an iPhone really wasn't really using the best phone in the world. And he went on to say that Windows on the desktop, Windows 10, was irrelevant, that nobody used PCs anymore, and nobody used Windows. And I thought, he was genuinely sincere. He believed, with his hand on his heart, that nobody used Windows PCs anymore. And I'm sorry, but I know that MacBooks are very nice. I've got a MacBook myself. I'm recording this on a Mac, but I recognise that the majority of the world still does run on Windows and on PCs. And there are some really, really very good PCs and laptops and notebooks and hybrids released over the last 18 months or so that really stand the test of time and compete with the best of Apple. So that whatever you read in the tech media, it's kind of in a bubble. Don't believe everything you read. Windows isn't dead. Windows on the desktop certainly isn't dead. And I believe that Windows 10 Mobile isn't dead yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said before on this podcast that Steve maybe has a slightly more positive attitude to Windows 10 Mobile than I do. But I think both of us take the view that you have to kind of consider it in the bigger picture, and you have to be realist about it. But yeah, absolutely, with regard to the tech media. I mean, honestly, having counted myself a member of that, I'm certainly in the past and still to a certain extent, and people who talk about this stuff especially, and I would lump kind of evangelists and enthusiasts into that group. The thing is, you tend to talk about what's new and shiny, and that's even happening now with smartphones, with people, you know, criticizing smartphones, there's nothing new and interesting. It's because it's got to a mature point in the kind of product development life cycle, so you're never going to see amazing new innovations. And actually all the manufacturers face that when they make a big new announcement, everyone go, yeah, it was just incremental, what's the new thing? And you know, the attention then shifts to 360 cameras or virtual reality, or you know, when is the augmented reality eyeglasses or the equipment from Google or from Facebook or from Amazon going to appear? Of course, the reality is that smartphones make up the majority now of personal digital computers, with a couple of billion out them. And that's still, I would argue, the most interesting place to talk about, just because that scale enables you to do things that just weren't possible before. But you're also right to talk about desktop computers, which, you know, even now is still dominated by Microsoft and by Windows. And we may be talking about, you know, the hundreds of millions in that case, and the scale there is still pretty impressive. But for many people, you know, that have never used a Mac device, they won't really understand what it will do. Their entire experience will be on Windows. They may not even be that heavy a smartphone user. And I think it's incumbent on the tech media and people who talk about this in general just to sometimes not get too carried away. Of course, that's interesting. Of course, that's where things are going. Of course, that's what shapes the future. But the vast majority of hours and activities takes place on things that we were talking about 10 years ago. That's just the nature of technology and the adoption, and actually what's remarkable in some ways, how quickly things can shift, because you know smartphones have moved on so quickly. And I guess we're just a kind of day away from the new iPhone announcement as we record this. Effectively, we're getting the 10th anniversary iPhone. It's hard to imagine a world now without the iPhone and without Android in it, yet that is something that's appeared in the last 10 years. And so there are a lot of people it may surprise people listening to this, for which smartphones aren't the center of their lives and aren't all important. And it's that sense of perspective. And just as, you know, we sit here struggling, trying to have perspective about where kind of Windows 10 Mobile fits, and we, acknowledging that it's, a 5 million or so people or whatever that number you want to ascribe to it is, and saying that, we understand that it's kind of not a mainstream thing. Actually, that applies much more generally, and it's almost impossible to be unbiased and neutral and to have a perfect systems level view of things. But I think a lot of tech reporting is driven by wanting to talk about what's coming down the road, because yes, that is what's going to shape things. But it's always important to remember that those things which already exist actually are what the majority of people use, and that's what informs their experience of kind of digital services, of mobile, of desktop computing. And yes, I'm absolutely all for understanding what's going to be, what the shape will be in 5, in 10, in 20 years' time. I mean, that's one of the things I do in my job. But when you're building new services, you always have to build for arguably the current state minus a few years. I mean, actually, it depends on what audience you're trying to reach and what reach you are, what universality you're trying to get to. The tricky thing, of course, you also want to do something that doesn't block off future endeavors. We'll get off track if I start talking about that kind of thing. The point I want to make, actually, is that for all the kind of looking forward, it's sometimes also helpful to try and understand what that current state is and how, you know, there is no average consumer. And what you need to remember is, you know, your own experience for anyone listening to this or interested in tech will be very much a forward part of the average audience. And there will be people who are kind of right in the middle, very typical, and there'll be people who are behind that. So kind of think of yourself right at the opposite end of the spectrum, what that looks like and how you'd view the world from there. And actually, it can be quite a sobering experience. And all of us have done it when we talk to family members who maybe aren't so into their tech or have other priorities in life. It's perfectly allowed, you know. and that's always useful to bear in mind. It's something I always try and do. I admit it's the most difficult thing to do. It really is, because, you know, thinking outside your own shoes and trying to appreciate that actually it's not just outside your shoes, it's multiple versions of that. So, but a really interesting discussion to have.
Yeah, I'm always amazed, actually, when I find myself with my main SIM card in one phone for, say, more than 2 weeks. and at that point, I've got everything set up and everything's working. And I think, you know, this must be how normal people feel. Well, they don't spend half their day installing applications, resetting, reflashing, switching things around, getting micro SD cards working. And so just occasionally, it's nice even for me to have a breather and think, you know, I'll go a week without changing phones and just take it easy for a change. But not on the site. All the writing carries on, all about windowsphone.com. We must draw this podcast to an end, Rafe. I'm trying not to smart from your mention of my facial blemishes, but I would point out that shooting anybody's face in 1080p will reveal some defect. I am 55 years old. I think I've worn pretty well for my years.
You certainly don't look 55, Stephen. If you were shooting video of me, there would be a lot more defects to see.
Anyway, I will say goodbye and I'll let Rafe sign off for the podcast. But thank you very much for listening from my end.
Yeah, I guess I should apologise to Steve for that unkind comment. I think we've known each other long enough now that hopefully the audience will know it's in which it was intended. Indeed. But yeah, thanks as ever for listening. We're always grateful to receive your feedback, and we'll keep talking about Windows and we'll keep having our kind of rants on the side. We'll try and push them towards the back end of the podcast. So if you just want to keep up with the news, you'll hear all about that there. But until next time, thanks very much and tune in for the next podcast.